Okay, so we're on Daf Dalet Omid Aleph in Masechet Megillah. And now we have a third statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And if you have the classic Gemaras, you'll find about two-thirds of the way down. Let's just review, we had two statements so far of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. First of all, he establishes that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah despite the fact that it's a time-bound mitzvah. Secondly, he established that if Shabbos coincides with the 15th of Adar, which is Purim in Shushan, in Yerushalayim, then we, instead of reading the Megillah, which we cannot do because of Gzeira Derabi, remember we were always afraid that you might carry the Megillah, instead we're going to be Sholin V'Darshim, we're going to have a question and answer period about the Megillah itself, and that's the Pirsum HaNes, that publicized the miracle, Rashi says, to replace the reading of the Megillah. Now we go on to a third statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And again, if you have this page that I gave out a few weeks ago, you can fill in the missing words, so to speak, which you'll find on the bottom of page one of that page. If anybody didn't get that page and wants one, I happen to have a few extra copies that's over here. But this we gave out ages ago. So this is meant to, you know, to give you a chance to fill in any words that you're not familiar with or concepts so that we get a methodology. The Omar of Yeshua ben Levi. Chayav Adam Likros Es HaMegillah Balayla Ulishanosa Bayom. Do we have it? Again, in the classical Gemara, it's about a third of the way from up from the bottom, or two-thirds of the way down from the top. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in this third statement, establishes that there's a twofold obligation with regard to Megillah. One relates to the night of Purim, and the other to the day of Purim. We're all familiar with this in our tradition, in our observance, and this is the custom that dates back all the way to the time of Rabbi Yeshua. But keep in mind that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi uses a very strange language. He says, Chayav Adam, a person is obligated, Likros Es HaMegillah Balayla, to read the Megillah at night. And then he says, Ulishanosa Bayom. Vilishnota Bayom. Now this word, Lishnota, is a little bit out of place. What word would you have anticipated if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's point is that you have to read it a second time? What word could he have used? Vagam, yeah, Vagam Bayom. In other words, Balayla Vagam Bayom. Or Balayla Va'odapam Bayom. Or Lachzor Bayom. There are many different words. The choice of the word Ulishnota is a little bit odd. So we're going to pick up on that immediately. The Gemara is going to record a discussion about this, that maybe Lishnotah doesn't mean what we think it means, to review and repeat the Megillah reading by day. Maybe it means something entirely different. But leave that on in abeyance for a moment. Let's see how Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi derives this halacha. What's the source, what's the scriptural basis for a twofold reading of the Megillah? For example, on Hanukkah, how many times do we light the candles within the course of a day?
Once.
And on Sukkot, how many times do we take the Dalet Minim within the course of a day? Once. Okay, Kiddush on Shabbos is a little bit strange because we repeat the Kiddush of the nighttime by day, but you'll also notice it's a whole... What do you say?
It's a different Kiddush.
Yes, it's a whole different Kiddush. In fact, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the Ravid holds that there really is only one Kiddush. There's only the Kiddush by night. We have to figure out what the Kiddush by day is. But as a general rule, we can certainly say that one mitzvah per day. You know, we don't have to repeat the same mitzvah over and over again. The Jewish halachic day is a unit that starts at night and ends the following sunset. So why should we repeat it? I mean, if Rabbi Shimon Levi would prefer reading the Megillah by day, that would be acceptable. If on the other hand he prefers to read the Megillah at night, that would also make sense. But to have a double mitzvah, for example, on Pesach, what do we eat the first night of Pesach? Matzah. Great. Do we have a mitzvah to eat matzah the next day? And again, you have a mitzvah to eat matzah the whole 7 days, but that's not a real chiyuv. That's not an obligation.
When you say the next day, you mean later in the same day.
I'm saying the next morning. Hours. Yeah, you don't have a chiyuv to eat matzah a second time in the day. So had Rabbi Yishuv Levi preferred, for some reason, I don't know why, the Megillah reading at night, then he could just as easily drop the Megillah reading by day. Or the reverse, vice versa. There doesn't seem to be ostensibly any need to read the Megillah twice, and that's what this Gemara is going to try to figure out. And there are going to be three different approaches to this one single question as to why we need twice to read the Megillah. Mm. The first round, the first presentation, is going to be a pasuk in Tehillim, and that pasuk in Tehillim appears, please note, in the 22nd chapter of Psalms. And I emphasize that for a reason that'll become clear soon, but just as a general rule of thumb, whenever the Gemara quotes a source in the Tanakh, it's always a good idea to either open up the Tanakh and see it inside, or at least to know where it is. And I have in front of me a wonderful Gemara. It's one of the newest editions, cutting edge. It's called Masifta. And what they do in Masifta is they write out every single pasuk in its complete formulation on the side of the what's called the Gilayon, on the margin of your page. So that's what it's a great service that they've done. Now, what does the pasuk say? Shenemar, of course, Shenemar means as it says. And the next word, since we're going to cut up this pasuk into its parts, I'm going to read without pronouncing it as it should, because it's Kodesh. So I'm going to read it as Elokai. You know, so I'm substituting the kuf for the hey, but really it's a hey. Elokai Ekra Yomam. I will... Now, what does the word Ekra mean?
Call.
To call, exactly. To call out. I will call out Yomam. By day, velosane, and you might not respond, meaning you with a capital Y. God may or may not respond. But in event that he does not respond to my call, meaning he doesn't respond to my prayer, but what's a call here? It's a tefillah, right? It's a prayer. Then velaila velodumyali, I will not be silent at night. Now, what's fascinating here, and again, I don't want to get into this right now because I'm really just throwing out a pitch here that we'll have to hit later on. Which came first in this pasuk, day or night?
Night.
Look
day.
Again. In this pasuk, in this verse, the day came first. That's interesting because if I wanted to have a mirror image in a very exact, precise way of this pasuk as it applies to Megillah reading, then which Megillah reading should come first?
The day.
I mean, that's impossible, at least right now. Like, if you know an answer to this question, please keep it to yourself. But as we know it, Megillah reading at night precedes the Megillah reading by day. So I'm just throwing that out. Keep it in on the back burners. Good. Now, I have two basic questions to ask. One question is explicitly addressed by Rashi, the other is implicitly addressed by Rashi. My first question is, the subject, the theme of this verse seems to be totally inappropriate for Megillah reading. So what is the theme of this verse, in one word? What's the subject of this verse in the 22nd Psalm of Tehillim?
Distress.
Okay, you're a step ahead of me. Prayer in distress, correct? My second question is, what does this pasuk have to do with Megillah reading? And here Rashi, and at least in my second question, has something very important to say. And for those of you who can find the Rashi inside, it starts with the words Ekra, with the word Ekra, and it's approximately, I would say, 12 lines up from the bottom, just at a glance. And Rashi points out the name of this psalm, meaning the opening verse in this psalm. We're looking at the third verse in the psalm, if I'm not mistaken. But the opening verse is Mizmar Lamanatseach Al Ayelet HaShachar. Now, Ayelet HaShachar really means a process that begins as the morning star rises. And Rashi adds the following. This is based on a Gemara in a different tractate in Yuma. Hu shenemar al Esther. This chapter was said with regard to Esther. Interesting, is it not? You know, you read a chapter in Tehillim, and you don't immediately connect it to Esther. Kidamrinan bin Masechet Yuma, as the Gemara raised the question of Masechet Yuma, Lama Nimshla Esther Kayelet HaShachar. So why is David HaMelech using, again, this is all Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, he's using a simile or a metaphor for Esther, and that is Ayelet HaShachar. But Rashi proves from that statement of the Gemara that this chapter is directly related to Esther. And that gives us a jump start on our question, because we were asking, what connection does this pasuk, does this verse have in the 22nd Psalm of Tehillim? Does anybody have a Tanakhia, by any chance? No, those are Chumashim. Okay. It's hard to... Probably in the library.
Does Chumashim have
Tehillim, I think? Yeah, is there Tehillim? If anybody wouldn't mind just opening up Tehillim, we'll read a few psukim there in that psalm, and we'll get a feeling for what's going on.
What psalm is that one?
It should be the 22nd. Yeah, psalm number 22, I believe.
It should be here somewhere, I think.
Okay, if you don't mind. If you don't mind, Lawrence, I'm going to continue talking while you're looking so that we don't miss some precious time. So again, let's just review what we know. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wants a double reading of the Megillah, and he derives it from the 22nd chapter of Tehillim. Lamanatseach al Ayelet HaShachar. Now, the next pasuk, which is pasuk bet in this perek, is going to ring a very striking bell. Everybody here will jump up and remember this pasuk. Eli, Eli, lama azavtoni, rachok mishuasi divrei shagasi. My God, he translates it here, my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay, at what point do you, in the Megillah reading, do you think Esther would have cried out with such a deep, profound sense of dependence upon God out of as you say, distress? At what point? What would be the low point in the Megillah? Let's not all jump to answer at once. I can't hear so many voices.
When Haman wanted to kill her.
Well, she doesn't know that yet. But at what point does she know that? Does she find out? Remember, she's in the king's palace, so she really is not up on the latest news. You know, sometimes you're in the king's palace and you don't get the. I get it every day on my phone. I get the TIPCOM messages from Israel. You know, but she didn't get the TIPCOM.
So when she hears that her uncle is there.
Who tells her? Who tells her the news, the bad news?
Somebody.
Mordechai tells her. Okay, I'm just reviewing the basics in the Megillah. Maybe we should have a, you know.
Her brother.
And once she finds out, what is the first thing that she does?
She says.
Does she go right into the king?
No.
To plead the case? No. She's not going to do that. But what does she tell Mordechai? It goes like this. Lech knoset kol ayudim. V'ksuma olai shloshi yomim laila v'yom. So she gathers together the people, you'll look at it, and she says, let's fast for how many days?
Three
days of fast. Now, the cube, the mitzvah of fasting is essentially a part of a greater mitzvah of what? Prayer. Now, it also has a different dimension to it, which is no less important, and that is repentance, tshuva. But be that as it may, within the context of Keli Lama Zavtani, after Esther and her entire, you know, all the support group that she has, which is basically Klal Yisrael and Shushan, they fast for 3 days, including her Na'arot, you know, who were in there in the king's palace. Then she's going to go into the king. Why is that very dangerous? She wasn't invited, correct? And the decree was that anyone who comes in to the proximity of the king without being invited would be killed. So that's when she, according to the Gemara, says, Keli, Keli, lama zavtani. So it's a plea of distress. Okay, now we've perhaps addressed our second question, why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi sees in this verse a connection to Megillah reading, by saying that Ayelet HaShachar is referring to Esther, and number two, the second pasuk, Keli Keli Lama Zavtani, is a prayer that was enunciated by Esther when she went in to see Achashverosh, which is a very dangerous kind of thing. The third pasuk is our pasuk, Elokai Ekra Yomam Velosana. I'll read again the English translation. Oh my God, I call out to you by day, but you do not answer. V'laila v'lo dunyali. In other words, I'm going to continue without respite and pray at night and call out to you even at night.
I have trouble seeing a connection between this section of Tehillim and the situation with Esther. Because Esther told Mordechai, listen, going to the king uninvited isn't something you do trivially, but there's nothing in there that suggests that Hashem has abandoned her or that her prayers aren't being answered, which seems to be the thrust.
I think what she means is that God has placed the Jewish people into such a dangerous, precarious situation by the result of Haman's decree that Keli Keli Lama Zavtani, you've forsaken us, meaning we're at the point where if you don't intervene, then we're going to be destroyed.
But the Kapitel Tehillim isn't in the plural, it's in the singular, and her identity wasn't known to Ahasuerus or to Haman, and she was immune. So if anything, she'd be in a privileged position.
Right, okay, I don't know.
Everybody else.
I don't know the answer to your question why it's in the singular. You know, that's something that has to be...
I was more thinking that Mordechai would be more likely to be in the position of that rather than Esther.
Okay. But Lawrence, be that as it may, again, we're not going to go through all the mafarshim on the pasuk, and I'm sure you'll find probably lots of answers to your question. Maybe Kaylee, she represents all of Klal Yisrael. She's the representative. She's the Shliach HaKel. But getting back to this, my other question, which I think now really has to be addressed, is why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi see in this pasuk a source for Megillah reading? I understand that this kapitel, this psalm is related to Esther at the time of the danger. That's wonderful. I understand furthermore why Rabbi Shimon Levi wants a double reading in the Megillah, because there's Yomam and there's Lila. All that I understand. What I don't understand is, what is the theme of Megillah reading? And why is it connected to prayer out of distress? For example, the Gemara is going to tell us on Daf Yud Dalid, I'm again jumping ahead of myself, maybe that'll be the next sugi we'll learn after we finish this one, perhaps, that we don't say Hallel on Purim. Why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? Did we ever get a chance to talk about this? So Rav Nachman, later on in Daf Yud Dalid, is going to reveal a major secret, and that is that we do say Hallel on Purim. But not the Hallel in its form, standardized for other holidays. It takes on a different form. And it's replaced by, who can guess? The Megillah reading. The Megillah reading itself replaces Hallel. There's no need for Hallel. And that's the famous statement of Rav Nachman later on, Kriyasa Zui Hilula, which is an Aramaic form of saying that the reading of the Megillah is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hallel. So clearly,
and for us, that would justify the daytime reading of the Megillah. And
it okay, but
deals with the nighttime.
But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is doubling the Megillah reading based on this pasuk. What I'm driving at here is that if the theme of the Megillah is Hallel, is Thanksgiving, we call it Pirsum Hanes, to publicize the miracle, then we're missing something over here. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi apparently is working, either he accepts that premise, but, meaning somehow he has a broader definition of the goal and the kiyum, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah, or he has a whole different definition. Because if your definition is praise, is thanksgiving, then praise and thanksgiving are antithetical to the distress and the prayer that's indicated, that's reflected in this particular verse. How many people, by show of hands, understand my question, my problem? You know, can anybody here, empathize with me over here? I need empathy.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, this seems to throw me completely off over here. Again, I understand that Esther recited these psukim, Kaili, Kaili, etc. at the time of the crisis. I understand that there's a double indication here, Yom HaValayla. Well, that's fine. But I think we're missing the forest for the trees. So it's the kishkas here, the essence of what we should be discussing is how does prayer and distress, petition to God in the most profound sense, how is that the theme of reading the Megillah? It seems so antithetical. Purim, as we all know, is a holiday of joy, of jubilation. It's a very loud holiday. It's a very raucous holiday. There's a lot of wild things going on Purim. It seems like the last theme that would reflect the mood of the day would be Elokai Ekra Yoma Vlosane Laila Vlodumuli. That's antithetical to the whole theme. Just hang in there for a minute. Are you following my question? I just want to know, is there anybody here who can tell me they empathize with me? Yes? Is that a yes? Or is it just like I'm getting some blank stares over here?
More than a chronological issue.
Now, I'm not asking a chronological
more
issue.
That, yeah.
I'm asking thematically to introduce prayer. And again, not just prayer on the superficial level, but the most profound and distressed prayer that we know of, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Zavtani, seems so antithetical to Purim. It would be wonderful for a fast day. You know, we have many fast days. That would be a great theme. But not on the day of Purim, which is the day of Suda, which is a day of Chayavon of Libesumi, we'll see later on, Adlo Yoda, which is a day of Mishloach Manos, a day of Rikud, of dancing and singing. And now you're throwing in a theme. And not only are you throwing in the theme, but this is the major mitzvah of the day. You know, we have many mitzvahs on Purim, but if you had to isolate the Behei Yediyah, you know, the mitzvah that really is essential to Purim, it would be Megillah reading. Everything else is peripheral. Okay, I'm just throwing out this question.
I'll say if the Megillah finished about two-thirds of its way through and left out the last third, then this would make sense.
Right. No, I'm asking more from the perspective of Purim. I think if you hang in there for another few minutes, you're going to see that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has a different understanding of Purim than we do. And that's very important to me. Now, let's just go on for a minute. Now the Gemara thinks that we have to interpret Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and his choice of the word V'lishnota. You remember that word, Lishnota? So the Gemara thought that the word Lishnota was chosen. He didn't say Chayev Adam, as we said before, Likro Tamigilah Balayla Ubayom, or Vagambayom. Is the word Lishnota mean something totally different? What does it mean? So the Gemara says, Lemakriye, or Lemakriya, Bilwaila, we should read the Megillah according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi at night. And then what do? Ulishanot bayom means limitna matnitin dida biyamama, which literally means limitna is to study, matnitin is a mishnah, dida of her meaning of Masechet Megillah, biyamama during the day. So what is Rabbi Yeshua saying? When do we read the Megillah, according to this understanding of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi?
By night.
Only at night. What do we do by day?
Study.
We study Mishnayot. Okay, this is very interesting. That by day we should read Mishnayot. Now here I have to stop for a moment and ask you the following question. Gemara is going to reject this, but...
That's starting to sound like the... Sholim V'Dorshim.
Right. It's a little bit similar to Sholim V'Dorshim, but... I want to call your attention again for those of you who would like to see this page that I gave out today. There's a very there's a very interesting Gemara in Brachot which I thought might shed a light on this Gemara. This is my own chidush. You'll see this on page 1 for those of you who have the page, or if you just want to check it off, you could look at it at your convenience. It's the third source up from the bottom, or the fifth source down from the top, depending on which way you're counting. A Brachot Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi that he was so busy saying or teaching his classes that he was afraid. Again, this was before this is way before the formalized, you know, Sidur as we have it. He was afraid that he and his students would not get the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah, which you may have heard of, I don't know, it's called Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. I'm not talking about the mitzvah on Leil Pesach of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. I'm talking about the daily mitzvah, the whole year round, of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, which, by the way, we fulfill in the third chapter of what?
The Shema.
Of Kriyat Shema, correct. But he didn't have a chance to do it. So what did he do? This is a very interesting thing. Mahadir Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Ashmaitet to the Itba Yitziat Mitzrayim. He somehow was able, this is mind-boggling how he was capable of doing this, only a great scholar like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi could do this, he would integrate into his class some sort of discussion about Yitziat Mitzrayim. But the word is Shmatita. Shmatita means what we call a sugya. That Shmatita is the Aramaic translation of the word sugya. In other words, he integrated into the shir some sort of discussion about the halachot of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And in doing so, as the Noda Biyuda points out in the Tzlach, he fulfilled the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. This is a radical idea, a very revolutionary idea. It means that to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, you don't need to read a chapter in the Tanakh, in the Torah Bechtav. You don't even have to think about the entire exodus of and redemption from Egypt. What you have to do is learn something that's relevant to Yitziat Mitzrayim. So if you study some halachot, some legal dialectic discussion about Yitziat Mitzrayim, you will fulfill that mitzvah.
David.
Daily, and this is what he did on a daily basis. Why do I mention this to you? We're not learning Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. Because I think, by parallel, the mitzvah of Purim is also a mitzvah of Zechirah. But in this case, not Zechirat Mitzrayim, but rather Zechirat Hanes, right, to remember the miracle that took place at the time of Shushan, of Esther and Mordechai. And if in the case of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, you can fulfill that obligation by studying any halachot that are relevant, then the same thing could apply to the mitzvah of Zechirat Hanes with regard to Purim. And if we would study, in this case, the Mishnayot of Masechet Megillah, and this we're going to do by day, then we have a beautiful integration of two halves that become a whole. We have the nighttime obligation to read Torah Shebichtav, in this case the Megillah, which is, as we said many times, is one of the 24 books of the Holy Writ, and to add another piece by day, in this case, of studying the laws of Megillah, right? Studying the Mishnayot. Again, this was written before the Gemara was a text that we have today, as we have it today, to study the Mishnayot. And studying the Mishnayot, you'll learn the laws of Megillah, of Purim, and therefore you will fulfill the mitzvah of Zichron HaNes, of remembering the miracle. Let's go on in the Gemara. Amar Lehu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah told them, in other words, he told the people in the audience, or the yeshiva, Lididi Mifarsha Li Minei D'Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Meaning, Rabbi Yirmiyah was a student of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and he says that he heard from Rabbi Chiya Lididi, to me, in other words, he told me, an interpretation, Mifarshana, that's an interpretation, Li Minei. For me, he told me, Minei, to understand the words of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So let's go over that again. Amalahu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah told the people in the audience, the students in the yeshiva who were thinking that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was talking about learning Mishnah by day, on the day of Purim. And he tells them, I have a tradition from my Rebbe, from Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, basically to the effect that that's not a correct interpretation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He was not referring to studying Mishnayot, but rather to reading the Megillah a second time. Lididi, Mifasha Li Minei, I will be able to interpret the words Minei of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi based on the information, on the Torah that I got from my Rebbe, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Kigon, but so you'll ask me if Lashanota means something other than learning Mishnayot, then what does it mean? So he says, Kigon, I'll give you an example of how Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used the word Lashanota. Lishnota. What did he mean by Lishnota? Kigon, similar, the Amre Inshi are people, they say. So he's quoting some sort of an idiomatic, pitgam, how do you say, a phrase that people use. Evar parshata da ve'itnie. People say that I will study a particular parsha, and itnie, I will repeat it. It's sort of like the mitzvah, I don't know if you've heard of it, of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, you know, that you read it twice. So the word Lishnota means a second time around. In fact, if you look at the word Lishnota, the Shin and the Nun probably form, I mean, you're missing a Yud there, but probably form the word Sheni. Sheni means a second. So,
it also works for the word Mishnah.
Correct. So that's why originally they understood that Lishnota means to learn a Mishnah. But now, what we're saying is that Lishnota means to repeat it a second time around. Again, the question is still obvious. Why did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi use this ambiguous word, Lishnota, that misled us in the yeshiva to understand initially that his meaning, his intention was that we should learn Mishnayot by day? Why can he just say Gam Bayom or Pam Nosefet Bayom or something along that line? So if you look at this page that I gave out, you towards the bottom of the page, you'll see a Sfat Emet. It's the next to last source on your page. He says, V'afshar, and it's possible, D'had D'omar, that which he, meaning Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, said, U'lishnota. Why do you use that phrase? Mishum, he wanted to convey a message to us. The ikar mitzvata bayom hi. That it's the main primary mitzvah is the second reading. That which takes place by day. Now, how does that indicate? How is that indicated by the word lishnota? He says the following. Hakriya balayla hi rak sheyeh bayom kriya shniya. The institution here of reading the Megillah at night is a means to an end. And the end, the goal is that the kriya on the second round should be by day. I guess what the Sfat Emet is trying to convey here is that, you know, the first time you read the Megillah, you know, you know it's very difficult to appreciate it, to understand it. You need a review. You know, when you go over something a second time, that's when it becomes more meaningful to you, more powerful, more of an impact. So in this case, the reading by night is only a preparatory stage, so to speak, to the reading by day. You know, to make the reading by day the second reading. So Lishnotam means a second time around. Second time around means that's the primary, that's the emphasis, that's the goal. And the Sfat Emet, based on this assumption, comes to a halachic conclusion. He says, Nafkemina, Ba'adehecha diyumama lo haya alav chiyuv gambalayla potter. If you have a person who is not obligated in Megillah reading by day, then he's exempt by night. Because night is only meant to set up the Megillah reading by day as the second round. V'nafkemina b'mukov, okay, so let's say Yushalmi comes to Tel Aviv on the 14th at night. V'kodem amud ha-shachar, before the daybreak, on the 14th of the morning, Yelech l'mekomo, he goes back to Yerushalayim. And he only celebrates Purim on the 15th. So on the 14th at night, he was in Tel Aviv. By daybreak of the 14th, he was ready back in Yerushalayim. Departu mikriyas halayla. Since he knows he's going to check out, he's going to return to Yerushalayim before daybreak, he's not obligated to hear the Megillah reading at night. Why? Because the Sheni, the emphasis here and the goal is to read the Megillah a second time, which is by day. The reading at night is only meaningful and it's only obligatory insofar as it's a preparation to set up the Megillah reading by day. I thought that was a pretty fascinating chidush of the Sfat Emet. But to hold everything, this is not so simple to assume that the Megillah reading by night is only a preparatory stage for the Megillah reading by day. That's a little strange, because if you take a look back in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's source, the pasuk that we saw and we spent some time on in Tehillim, Perek Chaf Bet, right? So look at the Gemara. Which was the second time around? Which was the second? Lila was the second time around. Now I asked you at the outset.
But that's the following Lila.
Oh, so I asked you at the outset, is it possible that Megillah reading at night would follow the Megillah reading by day, which seems like an impossibility? So guess what? There's a Meiri on this sugya. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Meiri. The Meiri is one of those Rishonim that we never had access to historically until after the Holocaust. The Vatican had it. It's, anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent because I have a lot to say about that. But that's so the Meiri says that, and this is based on the first Mishnah in Megillah, the people who lived in the outlying villages would come into the main cities on Mondays and Thursdays. And the market days, and they would read the Megillah on different days, not on the 14th and 15th. They could possibly coincide with the 14th, but didn't have to. It could be much earlier. It could be the 11th, the 12th, the 13th. So the Meiri claims that after they hear the Megillah reading by day, they have to remain, and they can't go back to their villages. They have to remain at night to hear the Megillah a second time. So follow this. They come into the big towns by day for the market, and according to the Miri, they have to stay in town until they can hear the Megillah a second time at night. And the Miri claims that scenario is hinted, is alluded in this pasuk of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Because let's read it again. Elokai ekra yomam, and then v'layla v'lo dumyuli. In other words, you start with the day, and then you read it at night. So it's interesting that according to the Meiri, the choice of this pasuk, again, we still haven't answered our major question of why prayer and prayer out of distress is the theme of Purim Day. bless you. But what we do see is, again, more and more we see how much we're deriving from this pasuk. Yeah. You good? Okay. Itmar Nami, we also learned a different interpretation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So now we have a third interpretation. Again, let's go over them. The first interpretation was that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi requires us to read Mishnah by day. The second interpretation is, no, what we have to do by day is Ekra, we have to read the Megillah. Okay? Now the third interpretation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi agrees, yes, we have to read the Megillah twice, once at night and once by day, but for an entirely different reason. Has nothing to do with distress or prayer. Itmar Nami, we learned. Amar Rabbi Chelbo. Rabbi Chelbo says, Amar Ula Bira, he says in the name of Ula from a place called Bira. That was where he came from. Chayav Adam Likros as a Megillah Balaila Vilishnosa Bayom. Shenemar, based on an entirely different source, and this again is a pasuk in Tehillim, Leman Yizamercha Chavod V'lo Yidom. This is in Tehillim Perek Lamed in the 30th chapter of Tehillim. Hashem Alokai Liolam Odeka, I will sing the songs of your glory, God, V'lo Yidom, but I will not be silent. Liolam Odeka, I will continuously praise you. What is the theme of this pasuk, of indeed this chapter in Psalms, chapter 30? Is it prayer? Praise, exactly, song, praise. So I ask you, is Megillah prayer out of distress, or song and praise out of jubilation? And the answer is both, according to two different versions of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. In the first version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the essence of Megillah reading, or at least the double reading of the Megillah, is prayer out of distress. Keili, Keili, lama azavtani. Esther is going into the king. Very precarious, very dangerous. In the second version, which is quoted in the name of Ula, that version has it that the theme of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's idea of repeating the Megillah twice is not prayer, but rather praise and song. So much so that take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yizamercha Chavod. This is the last four lines on the page. Bayom, I will sing the song of your glory by day. V'lo yidom balayla, and I will not be silent at night. V'haikra, in that verse, the Mizmar appears in a Mizmar that begins, Aromimcha Hashem Kidilitani. Some have the tradition of reading this on a daily basis, right before Psuket Zimra, as an introduction. Darshinin Bipsikta. Oh, Rashi with his amazing, amazing storehouse, his treasure house of knowledge, quotes a Psikta. Okay, the commentaries here look for this psikta, and they find it somewhere. I don't know where exactly. But in any event, the psikta claims, B'marachai v'yester v'homen v'achashverosh. The entire chapter revolves around a particular historical event that took place in Shushan, and Rashi mentions the major players in the skit. Now, here's the punchline. Again, if you happen to have your own Gemara, please underline. Ukriat Megillah, and what is the nature of reading the Megillah? What is the essence of that mitzvah? Shevachu. What does Shevach mean? Praise. Shemefarsimim et hanes, we publicize the miracle. So the kiyum, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of praise, is through the publicizing the miracle. And look how Rashi finishes it up. Look at this. Vakol, and everyone, Mekalsim, praise, Kilus is praise, Lachadosh Baruch Hu, to God, Almighty God. There is no question, and no doubt in my mind, that Rashi is revealing the essence of the mitzvah of Megillah reading. And it's about time we knew this, and we learned this, that the publicity for the miracle is the way in which, it's the vehicle through which we praise God, we laud Him, we thank Him, and we dignify Him. And this, as we said before, reflects the Gemara of Rav Nachman that I quoted to you before, that even though we don't say Hallel in the formal sense on Purim, nevertheless Rav Nachman says on Daf Yudalid, Kriyata Zu Hi Hilula, that the reading of the Megillah is the Hilul, is the praise to Almighty God. So the question now is, let's go back to square one. I was asking for empathy before. I don't know if I got it. I didn't. Somehow the vibes didn't come through to me. I don't know if you empathize. But what does Rabbi Shimon Levi's theme of Keli, Keli Azavtani? I understand it was Esther, and I understand she went in. And these were the praise, this were the petition on her lips. But why inject that into the most primary, central mitzvah of Purim? And in effect, what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi seems to be doing is he's changing the whole essence of the celebration of Purim. Purim is no longer, in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's frame of reference, a day, a mitzvah of praise. It may include praise, but it's certainly, you can't say the mitzvah Megillah exhausts itself in praise. That's not the beginning and the end of Megillah reading. But rather, Megillah reading has an element of petition to it. In fact, if you take a look at the Marsha, which I have on the bottom of your page 1, he writes that even in the second version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's Yom HaVelayla, meaning even according to Rabbi Chelbo, who derives this double chiyuv of Megillah reading from the Pasuk L'man Yizmer Chavod, V'lo Yidom, this is in Tilim Perik Lamed. Even there, you will find the theme of prayer. As it says over there, Hashem Britzoncha Hematitol Arios, Histarta Panecha, Hayiti Nivhal. Let's see how he translates it in English. He says, you conceal your face, I am confounded. Eilech Hashem Ekra, I call out to the Lord. Ve'el Hashem et Hanan, and I appeal to Him, or I would say I petition to Him. So that the theme of petition and praise, excuse me, the theme of petition, of prayer, of calling out to God, because He, with a capital H, conceals His face, this is also central to the 30th chapter of Arumimcha Hashem Ki Dilitani, the chapter which Rabbi Chelbo quotes as the source for reading the Megillah twice. So it's not even fair to say that the theme of prayer is completely omitted according to Rabbi Chelbo. Even that's not true. And the Marsha amplifies this. He says, what is this Tarta Fanecha Yiti Nefal referring to? It's referring specifically to Esther. Shebizman Esther, at the time of Esther, Nitkayim, Haster Aster et Panai. You remember in the curses in Chumash, Hashem says, I will hide my face. That curse was fulfilled at the time of Esther. And he quotes a Gemara in Masech Techulin. Esther Menator Minai, where will we find an allusion to Esther in the Torah itself? Shenemar Haster Aster Panai. So when David HaMelech cries out here, Histarta Panecha Yiti Nifhal, I was confounded. I was dumbfounded by the fact that you have concealed your face. He's referring to Esther. So it's not coincidental that according to Rabbi Chelbo, the double obligation to read the Megillah is derived from Tehillim Perek Lamed, because that Perek refers specifically to Esther and once again reflects the theme of prayer out of distress, Eilech Hashem Ekra, after his Tarta Fanecha. I would like to share with you an idea that I heard from my Rebbe many, many years ago, Rav Soloveitchik, and he said the following. I cannot quote everything he said because it was many years ago. But hopefully I'll give you the gist of it. The details we'll have to fill in another time. When we find out if anybody ever recorded it or transcribed it. The Rav is pointing out that as a general rule, before holidays, we have fast days. Did you ever notice it? Now ask me the question, what fast day comes before Pesach? That's a tough one. Anybody?
I got one.
No. What fast day comes, it's only relevant if you're a firstborn. I think I just gave it away.
Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't smart of me.
That's why I said
anyway,
I got one.
Ta'anit ha-b'chorot. You find before Sukkot, we have the great fast, which is the great fast, Yom Kippur. So, Shavuot is a little bit more complicated, but we'll get back to that too, maybe. So the Rav wanted to know, is there a fast day before Purim? And what's the answer? Surely there is. Ta'anit Esther, correct? So he went very far. And he said that in truth, Ta'anit Esther is not just a fast in preparation for Purim. It really represents the essence of Purim itself. And he went as far as to say that if someone doesn't fast on Ta'anit Esther, he will not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Purim in its full-fledged form, because the fast is essential to the celebration. Why? And he explained that the essence and the message of Purim is that the Jewish people are vulnerable. One day they can be invited to the king's palace and feast together with all the other nations. And one day, what should I say, York University is very sympathetic to the Jews. But the Jewish people have to realize that it's very tricky. There's no security. It's vulnerable. Ein lanu el mi l'smoch el avinu shebashamayim. So we may find favor in the eyes of the goyim one day, but you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And this is a historical repetition that repeats itself. So there they were at the height of the culture, this pluralistic culture of Persia, of ancient Persia. And Achashverosh was even showing certain favors to the Jews. And then they had glatt kosher meat at the Suda. But yet, just almost overnight, the decree of Haman, Larog Lahashmidu La'abi. This we talked, the Rav used to talk about the two Seirim of Yom Kippur. If you remember, the two goats were identical. And one goat was Lashem, the other was Lazazel. Again, all this, and which goat would be sent Lashem, which was Lazazel? How is it determined? Anybody know? Like the lottery. You know, the lottery represents more than anything else the lack of security. There's no logic, there's no rhyme or reason.
Also ties to Purim.
Correct, the name Purim is Al Shem HaPur. It means that our existence and our security is about as reliable as a lottery ticket. And one day you win and the next day you lose. Therefore, Kaili Lama Zavtani is essential to Purim. It's not some sort of extraneous situation where we're preparing for Purim. It represents the essence of Purim. Purim is a day in which we indicate, we understand, we appreciate how vulnerable we are as a people, how dependent we are on Almighty God. Yes, there was a great salvation. Yes, there was a great miracle. We don't deny that. And certainly thanksgiving and gratitude and Hallel is at the essence of the day. But not to overlook the flip side of it. You know, we finished with Achashverosh, but the Gemara says, Akati Avdi Achashverosh Ninhu. We still go on under the sovereign rule of Achashverosh. We're still dependent on the whim and the lottery. And who knows who's going to take over the kingship tomorrow. So that the essence of... Now, Chazal were in a very big bind. You know, you couldn't have both elements. You know, the raucous, outgoing, festive celebration of Purim on the very same day... have the solemn fast of petition of Knos, Lech Knos is called Yehudim, of Laila Velodumuli. So what did they do? They split the Purim holiday into 2 days. Basically, it should have been one day. It should have been both a fast day and a festive day of eating and drinking and merrymaking. But you can't do both on the same day. So they split it into 2 days. But the Megillah reading has two parts to it. And that's why, according to the mystics, Purim is called Kippurim. Yom HaKippurim is a reflection of Purim. Because the solemnity of Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaKippurim is the most solemn day in the Jewish calendar year. And that solemnity, that seriousness, reflects itself and expresses itself in Purim as well. Purim is more than just a hoopla day of dancing and getting drunk and merrymaking and loud and noise and boisterous and everything. Purim is also a serious day of reflection. Elokai Ekra, says Rabbi Yeshua Levi. By Yom I go out and cry, V'laila V'lodumili, and even at night I am not sorry. And finally, just to end the Shia, because we have one more minute, I want to call to your attention a very new idea of the Turi Evan. He was the Shagasariya. It's the fourth source on your page. He says the following. I don't understand. The Mishnah says later on, in the second parak of Megillah, Ein Koronet HaMegillah Ad Shetene Tzachama, that the Megillah reading by day could not take place, you cannot fulfill that obligation until after HaNetzachama, that means after sunrise. Utna Nami Kol Hayom Kasher L'Kriyat HaMegillah, the whole day is appropriate for the mitzvah of Megillah reading. Shmamina, we see clearly, Shetzarach L'Krot HaMegillah Bayom, that you definitely have to read the Megillah by day. What were the Bnei HaYeshiva thinking when they raised the possibility that according to Rabbi Shmuel Levi, by day we don't read the Megillah at all? All we do is study Mishnah. So, in order to answer this question, and I underlined it, the Turi Evan says, Yeshomim Desal Kedai Techobet Tamil Chochem Hob HaMaretz, that the Megillah reading by day is obligatory for an Amaretz, for someone who's ignorant, who's not capable of learning Mishnah. He could understand the Megillah reading. But Talmud Chacham, the Gomir, a scholar, a Torah scholar who's well versed, Sagi, for him it's sufficient. He doesn't have to read the Megillah a second time by day. All he has to do is study the Mishnayot by day. So anything that we see that indicates clearly, explicitly, that there's a Megillah reading by day, that's for the Rov Am, that's for the rank and file citizen who cannot study Mishnah. But for those who have to study Mishnah, because they're scholars, they will not read the Megillah by day, but rather they'll study Mishnah according to that particular Havam.
Is the halacha like that?
No. The halacha is like we said in the name of the Sfas Emes, that the Iker Megillah reading is by day. But the Gemara Havamina, that by day, all we have to do is Shinun, which means to study, and as we said, that sometimes you can fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira through Torah study.